Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Joe Lunardi at the bottom of the hour. Get the man on himself to talk about bracketology. By the way, Carson Wentz was released by Washington today. They avoid a $26 million cap hit by doing it. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. They're the best in the business. First of all, they're just great people. I really just enjoy being around the Purdy family, being around the Purdy, you know, everybody in that Purdy office. There's great people. If you're going to be, if you're around great, why do I bring that up? Because if you're around great people, there's a really good chance they're going to care about you because they're just great people. They're not just doing this to do it. They care. So they want to make sure they find the right insurance for you so you're fully insured. And they also want to make sure, since you're a great customer, that they want to save you as much money as possible. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Back to Grant. Dame will sprint out on the sideline to get the rock. High dribble into the lane. Running right-hander up and in. Damian Lillard. With that runner, 71 points, a career high.
Now, did you hear the story about after the game?
Now, this I didn't hear.
They drug tested him.
Ew.
Like, are you kidding me?
Come get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
He played the Houston Rockets. Of course he got 71.
I mean, my goodness.
This isn't the first time somebody's gone off against the Houston Rockets this year.
71, though, is pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's a great, but it's you're sitting there like, really?
Yeah. Come on
Come
now.
On. That's just, I'm sorry, that's subpar. All right, and everything that we've been talking about, we have missed one of the important elements of the show today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for the Macatrillo rant of the day.
Well, just to add to my rant.
This is where someone gets to spew hate for no apparent reason.
Well, first of all, I read some of the reports with Florida State with the grant of rights thing over the weekend. Like, really? Who do you think you are? And first of all, what have you done to even give yourself anything remotely close to any leverage lately in both men's basketball and in football? That's all I have to say about that. They just look plain stupid this weekend.
But here's the bottom. Okay, all right. If I'm the Florida State people, okay, let's take your hatred out of the way first. Okay.
All right. Let's just be real.
Let's hit the little lever and just watch the water go down, okay, and spin. All right. So if you're Florida State, this is what you're envisioning right now, right? Well, which is a pretty good contract at one point, right, has now been dramatically surpassed. So now you have a group of teams in the SEC and a group of teams in the Big Ten. And this is something, as you know, how many times have I brought this up about the financial disparity in college sports that is in the process of happening? Right? How many times have I brought that up?
Plenty.
All right. And here is somebody on the, here is a group on the side, on the negative side of that that gap. Now remember, as the athletic director of Florida State, Michael Alford, he was not the athletic director when all this happened, when they signed this contract. So it's not as if he inherited it, but he knew he inherited when he took the job, right?
Exactly.
Right? So he knew that when he took the job. And and he can complain about it, but here's the problem. Right? And because he's only been on the job like, I don't know, 14 months? 15 months he's been on the job as the athletic director. So he has nothing to do with the first contract and then the redone contract that got it to 2036. Nothing to do with it. But here's the problem. You took the job knowing what the deal was. Okay? There is a piece of paper that has your university's president signature on it. What are you going to do? We're going to fight this. Oh, really? Everybody should look around and go, again, my first question is that your university president's signature on this document? Yes. We rest. It's going to be a short day at the office.
It's like Carson Wentz getting released today by Washington.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Stop. You've got to stop being happy about somebody else's misery. Okay? What, do you think it's a happy day in the Wentz household?
No.
Okay.
It was just too it was too easy. I'm sorry. It was too easy. Right. I do feel bad for Carson Wentz just because of how dramatically his career has fallen since 2017. I mean, I really have never seen anything like it. If I'm going to be
again, we are now in an era where big schools have taken over. In terms of going to the NFL, this is not the era of back in the 60s and 70s where there's Grambling and Jackson State and right. Some FBS guys do succeed. There's no question about it. But I always make this point. I made the same point about Trey Lance. Right? Because we haven't seen anything from Trey Lance. But my point has always been, in college, who were you throwing against? I mean, did North Dakota State play a secondary this year that had Jair Brown, Joey Porter Jr., and Kalen King? I mean, I'm asking that. Did North Dakota State play a secondary this year that had Kalen King, Joey Porter Jr., and Jair Brown? C.J. Stroud did.
I felt the same way when the Eagles drafted him, Carson Wentz.
And that was the Eagles drafted him. That's exactly what I said. I said, I'm concerned about the competition he faced. I'm concerned about that. There's also another element that's interesting. The Bears had the first overall pick in the draft. And in all, it seems like all signs are pointing toward they want to keep Justin Fields, and the signs are pointing toward they might trade it. Have you noticed what has happened to teams that have traded up to get quarterbacks in the top five?
It hasn't worked out too good other than the Chiefs.
He wasn't a top five pick.
No, he was not. You're correct. He was the number 10 pick that year.
Yeah, it may have been a technicality. It may have been 11. But right. But you look at the teams that have traded up to get quarterbacks. We're going to trade up to get a guy. Okay? Washington traded up to get RG3. The Rams traded up to get Jared Goff. The Eagles traded up to get Carson Wentz. The Bears traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky. The Jets traded up to get Sam Darnold. The Niners traded up to get Trey Lance. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
As I've said before, I've always thought really the last several quarterback classes have been so overrated because NFL teams are so quarterback needy that they're basically going to do anything and convince themselves to do what they need to do to get said guy, even though probably deep down they don't really know if he's going to be a franchise guy.
Well, in other words, okay, let's take a first-round pick. So first-round picks that means 32 players, right? Are some of these quarterbacks among the 32 best players in the draft? Every year it's no. But because of the position, the value of it, people feel they have to go up and get one. Hey, let's go get Zach Wilson. Really? And remember what I said in that draft. Going into the draft, which guy I would have picked second? And so I'd pick Justin Fields second. Now, it doesn't mean that Fields has not been an awesome and incredible quarterback, but he's been a better quarterback than Zach Wilson. In this draft, first of all, Bryce Young is not going to throw at the combine. I always love when I see that. Like, so what? I got 500 hours of tape here. Do I really need to see him throw? I mean, come on. No, he'll be there. He'll go through the interview process and so forth. And look, his measurables will come out. And let's see, what is he listed at? I think he's listed at 6 feet tall, right? Right? And he's listed at 6 feet tall, 194 pounds. There's a very good chance that the first number on his height will be a five. Okay.
And then that will probably be the talk of the week. Is Bryce Young too short?
Well, it's I don't know.
It's already started, but it will be flabbergasted this week now that we'll have the actual intangible numbers.
Right. I've never been around him, so I don't know. But you know, in all likelihood, I wouldn't doubt he's like 5'11" or something like that. Okay, fine. All right. He was actually born in Philly. But then his family saw the light and they moved to Pasadena.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
You hate this show, don't you? But you're talking about a guy that has 80 touchdown passes and 12 interceptions, and he was not playing against the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Exactly.
Okay? The guy is a heck of a quarterback. And you watch him. When he gets into ad-lib situations, he knows where all the chess pieces are. He's cool. Throws an accurate ball. Same thing with CJ. Stroud is same thing, too. Now, I'll say this. Stroud, for the most part, if you could get him off his spot, when Penn State pressured him, his accuracy went down. And that was the bothersome part about the game with Ohio State here is that they really had control over what was going on with Stroud in that game for 3.5 quarters. And then they finally turned it loose and they won the game. And I give them a lot of credit for that. Of course I do. But they had him moving. He's not a guy that likes to run. That's why in the semifinal game against Georgia, he ripped off that long run to get him in a position to try and kick the field goal. That's not something he usually does. And he actually is a good runner. He just never wants to run. And then there's Will Levis. Will has a long list of positives. So now let's get to the three areas that I would be concerned if I'm an NFL team. One, too many fumbles and too many interceptions. That would bother me. Number two, I still, you know how many times I've seen him throw a football in person. Awesome release, great arm. I still feel he could put a little air under a couple of throws where you gave your receiver a better shot at getting it. I still think that's still not quite there for him. And number three, I don't think, you know, for a guy that's a good runner, and he is a good runner, right? He doesn't throw well on the move. And guess what? Any team that drafts him is not going to have America's best offensive line if it's a high pick. And then Richardson, somebody, I think I saw Peter King write, anybody who saw the Utah game would think he's the greatest quarterback prospect ever. Excuse me, over here. It was one of the tapes I watched. I said, let's see that. Let's see what Florida did in the Utah game. I'm watching, I'm going, God, Richardson's good. I'm thinking, this is not the guy I watch most of the year. He'd be the one guy I'd look at and go, I'm sorry. In the first round, I got to take a pass. Second round, I'd take him. I thought he'd be a guy that would really benefit to go back for another year, but I don't know what his personal situation is. So, but that's the combine. He's not going to throw. Oh, my goodness. That's why Rick Neuheisel tells this great story about being at the Senior Bowl. And Baker Mayfield kind of did the I'm the big time, kind of came in. Hey, I'm going to come in for a day, see everybody. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm like, you know, it was like, you know, I'm the Heisman Trophy winner. I'm the star. Right, so then he went out there to throw a little bit with the guys, and he was throwing next to Josh Allen, and Allen is bigger. Okay, that's not a good start. And is two, 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 and Baker Mayfield's like, I guess he looked over and went, ooh, I don't think I'm going to throw a lot here. I don't want to show. Here, why don't you take a look at the Wyoming kid. Well, it looks like the Eagles might sign him. No, I'm kidding you.
Oh, my almighty!
He'd be back on the bandwagon in an hour. Matt Catrillo limping after spraining an ankle, jumping on the bandwagon. Is there anything else you're mad about? It's usually with you, it's I mean, to be honest with you, when it's only one, it's disappointing.
Well, the Sixers, but that's really nothing new, and the continued incompetence of Doc Rivers in coaching a game, but that's nothing new. The latest one is giving the Celtics a chance. Yes. Giving the Celtics a chance late in the game was absurd. 19 seconds left, you hold for the final shot, and you end on your terms. If you don't make it, then you shouldn't let them back in the game, period. If you make it, you go to overtime. If you get a three, you win the game. Don't give them a chance. Because that's what's going to happen. They couldn't miss in that game, especially when, after that, the slow start, Celtics could not miss at all. No feel for the game at all.
By the way, when Embiid let go of the ball, I knew it was late. But that was a heck of a
play. Oh, I know.
I mean, it went in. I'm like, oh, well, too bad it was late. I mean, you could tell it was late. And, in fact, then he went to the replay. That's why I said, ESPN, Embiid shot ruled late. No, it wasn't ruled late. It was late. They didn't come up with a ruling. They ruled it late on the floor, and they went to the monitor and went, yep, it was late. They didn't rule it was late. Who writes this stuff? Where do they come up with these people?
It's a good question.
But that was one of the issues I did have in yesterday's game with Penn State. And it was that at the end of the first half, they're up 17. Now, there was in that sequence, it was a really bad call. Remember when Simpson went to the line for a three-point play at the end of the first half? And the foul's on Miles Dredd. Did you see how the foul occurred? One of the Rutgers players, two hands from behind, pushed Dredd, and they pushed Dredd into Simpson. They called the foul on Dredd. I'm like, oh, Dick and I are looking at each other like, what? You can't call that. He got pushed into him. Then you look to the replay. Yep, he got pushed.
Thank you, Big Ten officiating.
But, yeah, and then there was the one on Pickett where he got pinballed in the second half. Like, he got hit. The other guy hit him. And then traveling. Traveling. And the call was made by the guy that was in Corvallis the night before. Yeah, I bet he was fresh. And so you're like, as I say 1,000 times when it comes to officiating, don't guess. My goodness, Dick and I are looking at it. He goes, bing, bing. And like, well, of course he got knocked off his spot. He got hit from each side. It was pretty clear. I'm like, okay. But that's not why they lost. But at the end of the first half, after the Simpson play, Penn State could have left Rutgers with about 6 seconds. At the end of the half, they'd run the clock down. And Andrew took a shot at 17. And we're like, what are you taking that shot for? And they had a foul to give and didn't take it. Like, got to be smarter than that. Got to be smarter than that. There are a lot of elements that go into something like that. I'm talking about, these are not second half plays. The pick and play was second half. But I'm talking about, these are first half plays. We're like, all right. You're sitting there like, first half did not, that was not a smart end of the half. Had a foul left and took the shot too soon. And too many guys, Matt, in basketball period, NBA and in college, go too soon.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand that. You work on this all the time. This is not a foreign concept. This is something that in practice is a staple.
It baffles me every time I see it, because it's not just like, oh, maybe a hair or two early. It's like really early, like three seconds still left on the clock, and you're chucking up a shot. No.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, hey, you know, you want to get whatever, the shot clock's got to be down to about 8. Okay, now you go into your offense because you want to make sure you've at least given your chance to get some options.
No, but even that too, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, that shot was put up at 17. We're like going, 17? Well, what are we doing here? And it's like, okay, you can't do that. Right? You got to have better, like, and that gigantic thing above the basket, that's a clock. Okay.
It's simply because everybody just wants to win one-on-one battles. And after you're knocking down a couple shots, you're feeling good about yourself, you get a little cocky playing, trying to do one-on-one, and you take a quick shot, and then all of a sudden you're back on defense. Like, no,
well,
run the offense.
Again, yeah, it's exactly right, because what you're trying to do at that point is that sometimes you warp into playing what we refer to as hero ball.
Yes, exactly right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's too many times, too.
Okay. Happens all over the country. It's not just, okay. All right, Joe Lenardi next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They will take great care of you. Make sure they save you money along the way and make sure you're fully insured. They're just really good people that do a great job. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. With that, we bring in the great man himself, Joe Lenardi. Joe, first of all, long time no talk, too long. Great to hear you.
Likewise, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and DJ passes along his best. So.
God bless him. I miss him.
I know. Well, we miss being around you, just so you know, because just so everybody knows, this is one of the great guys going right here. You know, so every time I've spent time around, it's just been a blast. First of all, how are you hanging in?
I'm doing great. I mean, you know, if you can't get energized at this stage of the season, maybe you should follow a different sport. But, you know, yeah, it makes for some late nights and a lot of number crunching. But I also know that, you know, I'm about 3 weeks from golf season. So I'm not, you know, like I'm in the red zone. I can feel it. We're going to have a big score.
Oh, the 17 play, 90-yard drive is almost over.
That's exactly right.
So let's not bury the lead for the local fans. Penn State, as of probably Friday night, was 37 on your board. 36 at-larges get in. You had them at 37. So the weekend is played out, including Penn State's three-point loss to Rutgers. Where do they stand at this hour?
At this moment, they are the seventh team out of the field. So that would be 75th on the seed list. It was a pretty damaging loss, made even more so by the fact that, let me count here, one, two, three, four teams that they were ahead of heading into the weekend, North Carolina, Arizona State, Clemson, and Michigan all got quad one wins,
right,
while Penn State was playing giveaway.
Right. And a quad two loss. Yep.
Yeah. It's more that they got passed, surpassed, if you will, than anything else. You know, the loss can be overcome by, you know, winning a game or two here this week that maybe they're not supposed to, but you can't take away the other wins that were piled up by the close competition.
Well, exactly right. That's what we talk about all the time. It's not people who say, well, you're here. Yeah, but it's the people you got to climb over, too,
exactly,
to get there and they're doing.
You know, no game is played in a vacuum. You know, certainly when you're at that game, you're only focusing on that game. But, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this. It's not like, you know, the NFL where you're only, you know, maybe worried about the other three teams in your own division. Like, here, anybody could come up and bite you at any moment.
I felt last year that the conference tournaments played some role, but not a big role last year.
I think the trend line has been less of a role. And what the committee would say is we want November games to count as much as, you know, the games at the end of the season. That's fairer to everyone, particularly the non-power conference schools, that when they get the rare opportunity to play up games, they tend to be in November or maybe December in the non-conference, and they don't want to diminish that. What they're really saying in saying that is it makes our life easier at the end if a lot of these teams have kind of baked into their positions.
Let me ask you about North Carolina for a moment, because they're 1-9 in quad one games. That one was
Let's not tell them short. One of those games moved into quad two, so now they're only 1-8.
Oh, see, I feel better now.
How about that?
I feel a lot better because now they're up to an 11% winning percentage in Quad 1. I know they play a difficult schedule. I got it. Their tournament is always loaded with other people when they go play their in-season tournament and so forth. But what is it that a team can have one and they're still right there in the thick of the hunt?
Well, part of me, I ask myself this question every day and have for like 2 weeks, which is, if it wasn't for the words North Carolina,
agreed,
would we even be having this conversation? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, before they won on a Saturday, I mean, 0-9 quad one, net 47 or whatever it was at that time. Like, that's just not an at-large resume. It just isn't. But my job is to forecast what they're going to do in the committee room.
Right.
And the resumes aren't blind. They were in the national championship game and the preseason number one team. And when they turn it on for a half or two, they still come close to looking like North Carolina. And, you know, I'll give it to you straight. Like, they play tonight at Florida State, which isn't anywhere near being what we think of as Florida State, but it's still a league road win, and we know how hard that is, no matter who it is. Like, if Penn State wins in Nebraska or Minnesota, you're not giving it back. And Oklahoma State, last team in, they've lost five in a row. They're playing Baylor at home tonight. It could be that when we click on Bracketology in the morning, Carolina is the last team in and Oklahoma State is out. Doesn't mean they're going to make it.
Right.
It just means that for 24 hours at least, I won't be getting hate mail from the state of North Carolina.
Right. And look, this is fluid by midnight every night. It's fluid. I'll make one quick comment about North Carolina. From the beginning of November last year to mid-February, then of course from mid-February to the end to the championship game, they were great.
They were great.
This season, they played the same way as they did the first part of last season. I've been telling everybody around here, I think the 6 weeks they made the run is actually the aberration and not the reality.
I believe that. I agree with that. I thought that they were the classic overrated candidate, you know, where we kind of based our preseason evaluations on 4 weeks of basketball in March instead of 4 months, which is usually a fool's errand.
Mm-hmm.
Having been that fool a few times, I can relate. But, you know, Steve, they still have four starters back from a team that had a 16-point lead at halftime in the national championship game.
Yep.
Like, there aren't any other bubble teams we can say that about.
That's right.
So there is something to be said for treating them with a little more nuance, perhaps. And, you know, we'll see. It's right in front of them. It's right in front of them. Like, they're in position to be in position, but they're not in. And even a win tonight, if it slides them in temporarily, that's only until the next bubble team picks up a real win. And you know, that could be Penn State.
Yeah, because they're at Northwestern. Penn State has two games left. They're both quad ones. They're at Northwestern.
And they're both, you know, they're both heavy lift kinds of games, but they're at a level that you've won several times this year. So, you know, look, I'm not at practice. I'm not in the locker room. I wouldn't mind sitting with you and DJ. But, you know, come
We'd
to
love
think
to
of
have
it,
you.
We should do that next year for a game.
Please.
I'd
love to have
hang.
You.
That would be awesome. Like in the non-league when I'm still goofing off.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a blast.
Like, it can change in literally one night. But, like, look what happened to Arizona State on Saturday. Like, what? Not one night. Like, 1 second. 1 second. Yep. They're out of the field, and then they're number 69 knocking on the door, looking up hotels in Dayton. You know, like that's how quickly it can change, especially on the bubble. The top lines are pretty baked at this point.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. The top lines are baked at this point. That's why we've been asking about the backside of it, which is obviously the side Penn State's looking at right now. But again, when you've got two quad ones available this week, now you've got to take care of business. But at least gives you the opportunity at upward mobility.
You need at least one to be, like, right there headed to the Big Ten, right?
Yep. Yep.
You know, because to lose two is going to be like, ooh, we need to be playing late Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I think, let's see, one, two, three more wins, however they could be fashioned, I think you'd be right there.
Yeah.
Right.
But they've got to get it done. Yeah, they've got to get it done.
Maybe not all the way, but, you know, like where we're in the last couple part of the discussion.
Yeah. On the seed lines, I'll give you one. Charleston. I saw Charleston at their own tournament. They won it.
Yeah.
You've got them, like, in the neighborhood as well. If they were to win their conference, would they be the only bid out of that conference?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they would be, you know, like, they would probably be an 11 or a 12, depending on how the play-ins fall.
Yeah, I agree.
More likely a 12. It's very hard to slot the play-in teams because of all the bracketing rules.
Yeah,
so they,
right.
But what concerns me about Charleston is if they don't win their tournament, I don't think they're going to make it.
No, I don't think so either.
And,
no, I agree.
And, like, you know, they're, like, leading the country in wins. And I understand the CAA is not, like, the NBA Midwest Division. Like, I get it. But, like we're still talking about Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's two games under 500 total.
Yeah, no.
And they have three league wins. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we have leagues for a reason.
What?
Like, and in the, yeah, Big 12's phenomenal, but they're playing half the games at home. Give Charleston 9 quad one games at home, and they're probably going to win 2 or 3 of them also.
Oh, no, I saw this team play in person a couple times.
Yeah.
At home, they'd be fine. You know, and look, I think Oklahoma's getting a lot of cachet for being Alabama.
Right, they're not the one seed, and they're not going to get in. It's not fair, but that's the margin of error in leagues like that.
Right. And, you know, and again, I think Oklahoma's getting a lot of cachet because they beat Alabama.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're done. But
the
rest of... computers haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Just like Ohio State's been done for a month, but the computer still likes them.
Yeah, I know. The computer loves them. And obviously, I just did a game at Ohio State on Thursday night that Penn State won.
Okay. Yeah, huge win.
Yeah.
Right, and if I had told you heading into the week, you know, you might get bumped at Ohio State, but you'll win on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have hung up on me.
No.
Probably.
I wouldn't. I don't hang up on you anyway. You know that. and top seeds pretty, as you said, baked in.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue is in danger of sliding off the top line. But, I mean, they've lost 4 out of 6. They've done it to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is interesting. We're talking about Charleston. Just a little peek behind the curtain, if you will. As we're talking, a call I couldn't answer, Liberty's coach, Richie McKay. What do you think he's asking? Same question.
Yep, same question.
Like, we have a top 50 net. Well, are we going to make it if we don't win? And the answer, sadly, is no.
No.
And the other thing they never remember in their calculation is, in a league like that, if you end up needing to be in the at-large pool, it means you've taken a bad loss.
Right.
Which exactly. Obviously is not a good thing to do late in the year, just like it wasn't good for Penn State yesterday.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
If you're going to apply the standard, they got to apply the majors and the mid-majors.
You know, the first time I ever ran into Richie McKay, he was the head coach in New Mexico at the time.
A long time ago. Wow.
But we're still,
ran into Gary Falwell of Liberty in men's room at Buffalo, but we'll stop the analogy. It was the Jameer year. They were our 16.
Oh, God.
And I thought, man, you may be close to the Lord, but we got Jameer. This is not going to be a good day for you, pal.
It's amazing what talent means. All right, so
I'm taking Jameer and the points against the Almighty.
Oh, okay. Please. Sorry. Oh, Joe, thanks so much.
I
really enjoyed it.
I could do this all night.
I know, but you and I just have fun when we do this. But I know you're busy beyond words. So thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Good luck, man.
Thanks.
See ya.
Thanks. Joe Lenardi. All right, we'll take a break. More Macatrillo rants in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
2-point lead, 3 seconds left, no timeouts. Neal inbounds, Desmond Cambridge. Oh! He got it! He won it! Arizona State has done it! My goodness! Desmond Cambridge Jr.!
My old friend Tim Healy. Tim is a Penn State graduate. He is the voice of Arizona State. That's why I tell my class all the time. So you can localize anything if you know. And I've known Tim for a long time. Tim's a really good guy. All right, so there you are. At this hour, Penn State 75, 7 out. Jerry Pond, by the way, has them 70, 2 out. Hey, you know what? That's what happens when you lose a game like that yesterday.
But it's just interesting that they're like, to me, they're like really kind of far apart on this, Jerry and Joe.
They're just 5 apart. They're just 5 apart. That's not a big discrepancy. If one was 80 and the other one was 70, that'd be a discrepancy. Very much difference between 70 and 75. And again, the issue is that you're going to have with all this is not just what you have to do. It's what other people are doing. We need more rants from you.